positionally, as a believer, you are in Christ. You're delivered from the power of Satan. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, my aim in this material is, number one, that we can get so discouraged by what is transpiring in our world, what is transpiring in our nation, in the country, in province, and city. We can get discouraged. But I want us to understand that practically and positionally, as a Christian, we are in Christ. We have God Almighty looking out for us. Just as we saw with respect to Pastor Cook, my, how my heart leaped. Man, I was like overjoyed, ready to jump up and down and just praise the Lord. It was exciting to hear the news of him getting across. You know what happened? God stepped in. And it is not, when we look at things, it's not the reading of truth or the enjoying of truth that brings a blessing. It is the doing of truth. And we need to determine by the Spirit of God's help to put these truths into practice. Now here's the principle from this morning. Remember, as a Christian, you are not fighting for victory. Jesus has already defeated Satan. Christ defeated Satan and all his cohorts. Satan's final judgment is known. Christ's bloody sacrifice and your faithful testimony defeat Satan's tactics. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Now we need to go on to victory. And as a Christian, positionally, here's the principle this morning. Positionally, you're in Christ and delivered from the power of Satan. Just a little review from what we went over several weeks ago. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, if you want to turn there, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, here in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, and it reads, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what we need to understand, Christian? We are not, as I said, we're not fighting for victory. Because if we stand with God, we have Almighty God with us. The challenges and the trials of our life that we go through, God has allowed. Now, if there's sin in our life, yes, God allows us to go through that to get us back to himself. To Satan, as the deceiver in the Old Testament, of the Old Testament example, the first example that comes to mind would be Eve, with Adam and Eve. He is the father of lies. He deceived her. He is a world deceiver. He is a subtle foe, and he has many minions. And he works in the mind through questioning and undermining God's authority. What is Satan's target in your life? Now, as I'm talking about Satan, I want you to understand, we have this fear sometimes. Don't talk about Satan. That's too scary. Don't talk about spirits. Don't talk about those dark things. Well, I'm not talking about them as an aspect of fear. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God, it's not the fear of it. We need to know it. And the fact is, as Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we don't understand how our enemy works, how are we ever going to be able to combat it? How am I ever going to be able to have that victory in Christ? And Satan's first target was the woman there, as seen in Genesis, as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And we need to realize that as a new man in Christ, the nature of Christ is renewed through the knowledge of him. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. I'd like you to look with me here real quick. This is a little bit of review, and then we'll catch back up where we were at several weeks ago. But the truth is, the knowledge of Christ, hope is Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Look with me at the latter portion of verse, after, which is renewed in knowledge. What knowledge? After the image of him that created him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the knowledge of him. It brings a renewal to our souls. Our renewal of nature comes through the spirit of our mind, Ephesians chapter 4. The renewal of our mind leads to knowing God's will. A lot of people ask, what is God's will for my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? What is my life all about? You know what? Romans 12 talks about that. And God's truths are found in the Bible. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the fact is, if Satan can get each and every one of us to believe a lie, he can begin to work in our life to lead you into sin. Why does Satan attack our minds? Why is it that, there's times I can be sitting there and I'm just enjoying God's word, and out of a blue, a thought comes to my mind and I'm frantic, or I'm fretful, or I'm anxious, or, you know, even frustrated, or other thoughts and emotions all come. And I'm here. I'm just reading God's word. It's not like I'm doing anything. I'm meditating on God's word in a wonderful time, and all of a sudden a thought comes, or a thought comes while I'm just getting into a deep part, and even in my studies, a thought comes. Well, you didn't do this, or what about this? I'm like, oh, I forgot about this. You know, the other day I went to do that, and I just get distracted. Satan's desire is to keep us distracted. His desire is to keep our minds from that balance. And his attacks center on the mind is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Particularly, Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good, of good report. Think on these things, he says. And the aspect is that our thoughts affect who you are. Your true peace of mind comes from God alone. In Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How do I keep him in perfect peace? How does God keep me in perfect peace? Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And the aspect is, Christian, it's trusting God. It's trusting God with every aspect of my life. It kind of gets back to the Proverbs 3:5-6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. As that verse goes on there, but as you think about this, whose mind is stayed on thee, my peace. When I begin, very guilty, as we have gone through the last 2 years, year and a half, whatever you want to call, of some times that are rather different, strange, out of the ordinary, my mind has come with all flood of different emotions. But you know what brings me back to a place of peace? I get back to the Word of God. I get back to pondering on God's goodness. Because if I begin to ponder on the aspects and the situations of the day, my mind becomes rather unsettled. You know what? In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7, our mind dictates our actions. Satan's weapon that he likes to use are lies. Satan came to Eve as a serpent, the subtle deceiver, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. I'd like you to look with me here. We'll pick up where we left off, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. We're going to look at a number of verses as more of a topical study, but nevertheless, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, I want you to notice the description that is given of Satan. Verse 9 of Revelation chapter 12. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, which deceiveth the whole world. Guess what? He is a liar. And Jesus would even tell the Pharisees, you have your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth. It even says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Satan is the liar. And Satan's step, what are the steps that Satan used to get Eve to believe his lie? Number one, and we're going to talk about that tonight. He questioned God's word. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, yea, hath God said. And the very essence of the aspect of truth in the scriptures, people say, the Bible is not true. Is the Bible, the question might be, is the Bible true? It just begins with a question. Number two, he would deny God's word. Number three, he'd substitute his own lie. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what, that's the same thing in Isaiah chapter 14 when Satan fell from heaven. He said, Isaiah chapter 14, I want to take us here. This is the very place where it discusses the fall of Satan from heaven. Why is it that Satan is evil? Why is it that he's not with God in heaven? What was the first sin in the scriptures? Yes, you have Adam and Eve, but what was it that preceded Adam and Eve? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which hast weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will notice with me, I will be like the Most High. Adam and Eve were already in God's image, but Satan tempted them with an even greater privilege to be like God. That was Satan's aim. That was his ambition. The great God's angelic servant, he who is in charge of the music in heaven, was he who wanted to be like God, and God kicked him out. Satan had created being a creature because he wanted to be worshipped and served like the Creator. It was his attitude of rebellion against God and seeking to establish his own kingdom. The very aspect that Satan gave, ye shall be as gods, is a great gigantic lie that has been perpetuated amongst civilization since the fall of man. Humanity today wants to run their own lives. Look with me at Romans chapter 1. It really does dominate humanity today in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans 1, 21. Romans 1, 21. And it reads, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. This one lie dominates. You know what? They knew God. They glorified him not as God. Who are you to tell me what to do? I don't need the hypocrisy. I don't need the Bible. I don't need someone telling me what to do. Well, it's not me or it's not you telling someone what to do. It's God's Word that tells us how to live our lives. It's God's Word that I'm going to be held accountable to someday when I stand before God. Whether I die or the rapture happens, when I die someday, I'm going to stand before God, and it's by the Word of God that I will be held account for my life. And Satan's desire is to get people to abandon God. That's what yea hath God said. That is to question the very character of God. And Satan desires worship and service. And even if you go back to Jesus' 40-day temptation in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Satan taketh Jesus up into the high mountains and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You see, the aspect here that we find is he wanted worship. And Satan's lie to you and me today is that you will be like God. You know what? That motivates and controls much of our civilization. And even in many Christians today, they say, well, that just doesn't apply to me today. The Bible has talked about that, but that's just not relevant today. My friend, the Bible is still relevant. The Bible still tells me the problem of my heart. The Bible still tells me that the wages of sin is death. The Bible still tells me what happens whether a man knows Christ or they don't. The Bible tells me if you live in holiness, God's blessings can help you. And through life, through the trials and the struggles of life, God's Word is still true. And even as we find our world coming today, and I find the civilization as it's moving in a direction towards the end times events, we're not there yet, but as it's moving toward it, the reality and the truths of the Bible are still true. And yet mankind says, I still don't see that there is a God. Or I am my own God. Or I can have any God that I want. Man is seeking to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, working to build a utopia on earth and possibly take it to outer space through education, psychiatry, religious, some very kind, most of which ignore Christ, sin, and salvation in better environment. Men are defying God and defying themselves. They're playing right into the hands of Satan, as Warren Wiersbe writes. Eve made three mistakes that led her into sin. Number one, look with me at Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. Beyond this first number one, before this number one, she even began to question God's Word. She responds to the very wicked ploy of Satan. And the mistake that she made, verse 2, look with me. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, which was true. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Did God say that? Look with me at Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. What did God say? He said, don't eat it. He didn't say, don't touch it. Number one mistake she made, she added to God's word. Eve caught hold of the lie that God was holding out on her. God was just there to, as I've heard before, an eternal killjoy, a cosmic killjoy. He didn't want her to have fun. He didn't want her to have good life. He didn't want the best for her. No, God was keeping out the good gifts for her. And so she began to answer. When the fact is, when we start to question or forget the grace of God and the goodness of God, you'll find it much easier to disobey the will of God. And you can get in those hard times of life and things are going around and things are going away from you. And you begin to say, is God good? Does God really care for me? Does God doesn't know what I'm going through. God doesn't see the pain that I'm in. You know what I begin to do? I begin to question God's character. You find beyond that. So she took away from God's word. She also added to God's word. So she took away from it. She omitted the word freely. Notice with me here. She said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? Thou mayest freely eat. She omitted that word freely. Why? Because she felt that what Satan was telling her was true and that God was holding out. She then added to God's word. And Satan wants us to believe that the commandments of God are burdensome. Oh, man, if you're a Christian, you can't have any fun. You can't have an enjoyable life. You can't have peace. You can't have joy. And you know what? When I was younger and there was a church I was at where my parents took me, I began to go to church and think, man, the Christian life is just a miserable existence. You hold on as long as you can and just hope. Just hope you don't fall into sin. Just hope you don't get into a bad lifestyle. Just hope that you'll hold on long enough till you get to the end. And then when you're raptured into heaven, I was saved and I knew I was saved. But man, I thought at times, man, this Christian life at times is miserable. There is no joy. I don't have the peace in the presence of God. It talks about peace and joy in the Bible. But I didn't know that. I didn't know how to get it. I mean, the church where we're at, it was dead in a doornail. And I was like, Lord, what is there? And Lord, I want peace and joy in my heart. We can begin to listen, man. As I've talked to others, and I was talking with an individual recently, and they said, man, some of those old party days, those were fun days. But I said, yeah, with those came a lot of heartaches. You know, we can think about the good times. Sin is pleasurable for a season. Yes, it is. There's things that you can do in your life, and it's pleasurable for a short time. But then you begin to bear the consequences of those actions, and you're like, oh my, I don't want it anymore. She also did something else. In the fact that she added, she said, don't touch it. But here's what further she said. In this changing of it, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She changed God's word. He said, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He didn't say touch it. The penalty for disobedience as presented by the enemy did not seem as harsh. Therefore, Eve could consider forsaking God's will and obeying Satan's will. Once you have treated God's word in this fashion, you're wide open for the devil's final trick. Once you have treated God's word in this fashion, you're wide open. He merely permitted Eve to consider the tree apart from God's word. Get a look at it. See it. God didn't say, lest she die that day. He said, thou shalt surely die. And they also said, you won't die. Oh, wow. That's a new truth. That's an enlightenment. Wow. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, chapter 3, verse 6 of Genesis, saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. She made a choice. God's word or Satan's word. And so many times in our lives, I am tempted to go with Satan's word, to go with my own desires. Why? Because it seems like the best option. There are times when you're thinking, man, if I do God's word, I won't know joy. I won't know fun. I won't be able to provide for myself. You know what, my friend? I remember the days when I was leaving the military, and as I was leaving, I thought, man, I'm going to Bible college to train for the ministry, to become a pastor. And I went from officer's pay in the military of $70,000+ a year with benefits down to $8 an hour. And there's times I thought, Lord, why did I do this? Lord, what's going to happen? But you know what? God has always provided. She rejected God's word. She believed Satan and sinned. And she also the husband willfully sinned. And you and I have been suffering from the consequences of the decision of those two throughout the entire human race. But nevertheless, God accomplishes will on earth through truth. Satan accomplished, notice with me, God accomplishes will on earth how? Through truth. How does Satan accomplish his purposes on earth? Through lies. And when the child of God believes the truth, then the Spirit of God can work in power. For the Holy Spirit of God is truth, as we find in John 16:13. When a person believes a lie, guess what? Then Satan goes to work in that life. John 8:44, you have your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What is one of the lies that is prevalent in many parts of Christianity today? The word of God, many people believe, that the Bible is good for me, that the Bible contains truth, but the Bible is not truth. If the Bible contains truth, then I can pick and choose what is truth in here. And if it contains truth, then I can say, well, I don't agree with that, so that's not truth. But if the Bible is truth, there's in professing Christianity, I'm not saying that they're saved, but there's many people that say the Bible contains truth. The Bible doesn't contain truth. The Bible is truth, because either God is your foundation or Satan is your foundation. The lie is, and not only that, the people say, well, I don't need to read the Bible every day. I don't need to not just read it, but meditate and study in God's Word. I need God's Word every day. I'm a fallen man. I will fall into sin. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I'm the same as you. I have sinful, Satan puts those things in our lives and those desires and lusts. And you know what? I got to get to the Word of God to show me those sins to help me to walk with Him. Satan sends many false deceitful workers. Satan is a counterfeiter, an imitator. And there are many counterfeits. And here are several things that there are counterfeit Christians today. 2 Corinthians 11:26, that Paul would talk about this. And journeys often and perils among false brethren. There's a counterfeit gospel. You see, God is so concerned. Sometimes people say, well, just as long as you believe the gospel, as long as they've been saved, they're a Christian. But the fact is, how do you get saved? Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. I'd like you to turn with me here. I'll have to get a little bit quicker through this, but Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible is so clear. This is God's holy word. And you know what? If someone wants to let me in their house, there's a relationship I have with that individual to let me into their house. Or there's enough trust to allow me to come into their house. In order to become a child of God, I'm entering into the very family of God. And there's an aspect of how do I get into the family of God. Galatians 1:8, God is very clear. But though we or an angel from heaven preach what? Any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, John 3:16. Many of you would know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9-13. The fact is, there's only one way to Jesus Christ. If there's any other gospel, if there's any other good news, if people are saying, well, you need to be a good person and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Well, that, yes, I believe that he died on the cross, but being a good person is not going to help me get to heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9. Titus 3:5. What if someone says, well, what about I need to be infant baptism? I need to be infant baptized, or my baptism is what made me a Christian. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, again, that if thou shalt believe with thine heart that Jesus Christ raised him from the dead, thou shalt... let me go there. I'm getting this wrong here. I don't want to speak it incorrectly. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. What does God say? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel. There are counterfeit ministers of the gospel. A lot of false prophets and people that call themselves apostles and other such items, bishops and such. That is not of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 discusses that. That Satan is transformed into an angel of light. There's counterfeit churches. Revelation chapter 2 calls the church of Satan. There's counterfeit, and even beyond that, there's counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist. Will eventually come on the scene. There are many antichrists, but there will be one significant antichrist that will take over the world, and he'll be a world ruler in this one world government that we are moving in to even today. Satan's target is your mind. What is his purpose? Satan's purpose is to make you and I ignorant of God's will. If a Christian, sometimes Christians saying, I don't know if I'm saved. You know what, for a while in myself, in my own life, there were times I doubted my salvation. Did I really accept Jesus Christ? You know, I'd hear someone talk about how they came to know Jesus Christ. They put their faith and trust in him. And I said, well, I didn't have a reaction like that. I didn't necessarily have all the tears and the crying that maybe they did. And I didn't necessarily have all the bondage from sin that they did. And the miraculous, I mean, God just did a miraculous change in their life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about being a new creature. After we're saved. Well, I didn't have that, so am I really saved? Well, it doesn't matter. God doesn't say you have to respond a certain way to be saved. It's trust Jesus and Jesus alone. And Satan attacks God's word because he reveals God's will. And so if a Christian doesn't know they're saved or they're doubting their salvation, the fact remains we're not going to be, if you don't know whose team you're fighting for, then you're going to have a hard time fighting. If you're out, have you ever played backyard basketball or baseball with the team and you're not sure what team you're on. You know, I think I'm on this team, but I'm not sure if I'm on that team. And you know, you're like, I don't know what, you know, if I'm up to bat, if I'm going out to the field, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You're going to be highly ineffective in that game. And it is in the same way that if I'm ignorant, so the first thing that God wants you to do after you get saved is you need to know you're saved. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Again, also in Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. We need to know what God's will is for our lives. Now, there are times as you grow in the Lord and maybe someone's just a baby Christian or they haven't, you know, they've read the Bible, but they just haven't, they don't know a lot. They haven't been taught. And so they're struggling in their life. What is God's will for my life? There's a general will that God wants all to be saved. There's a general will that God wants everyone after salvation to be baptized, scripturally baptized. There's a general will that God, after salvation, after baptism, to join a church. That's God's general will for every person. Now, what church? That's God's specific will. Now, what job you have, or if a person's to be married, that's God's specific will for you. Where to live and what house to have, that's God's specific will for you. What career path, that's God's specific will for you. And if we don't begin to know God's will and God's voice from the Word of God, we're going to be very ineffective. Apart from the Word of God, we have no sure understanding of the will of God. In Psalm 33:11, look with me here. Psalm 33:11. The will of God is the expression of God's love for us. Just as a parent, a mom or a dad or even a guardian, whomever that parental figure is, if they love a child, they're going to have some desire for that child's life. Maybe not necessarily a career path, but they said, you know what, I want you to succeed after you're done with school. Maybe whether you go technical path or you go a university path, but that person who loves you has a desire for your life. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation. And the fact is that God's counsel, Lord, stands forever. God's will comes from God's heart. It's not an impersonal thing, but a very personal matter with the Lord. A personal understanding of each of His children and their natures. Each and every one of us are different. Our names, our needs, our traits. God knows what it is for our life. And the desire of God is God wants us to know His will. Acts 22:14. Look with me in Acts 22:14. Acts chapter 22, verse 14. Excuse me. And He said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Thou shouldest know His will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of His mouth." Now this is Paul's testimony, but God wants us to know His will. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, look with me here. Ephesians 5:17. Ephesians 5:17, it reads, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So the question to ask, if you read this, and you can read the rest of this passage as well, but do you think, based upon God's word, that He wants you to understand His will? And the answer is, obviously, a definitive yes. And He wants us to understand that the understanding of His will to fill us and to control us. Look with me at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And the knowledge of God's will, it fills us, it empowers us. Verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." It fills us, it controls us. The result of all of this is the believer doing the will of God from the heart. You see, God's will is not a duty. It's not religion. See, what religion is, you come, you do this, you stand up, you sit down, you read this liturgical piece of literature, you say these certain prayers, you do this and this and this, and this is what you have to do to merit God's good graces. No. God wants a relationship. Love is a choice. When I got to know my wife, there was a choice I made, and there was a choice as God led me. But my wife, as I came to know her, I'm like, wow. You know, it was a choice to get to know her, a choice to spend time with her, a choice to go out and enjoy life together. It was a choice, and it is a choice whether I want to do what God's will is for my life or it's not. It's a choice. But when I do God's will, I have the peace of God with me. How could Paul and Silas sit in prison with stocks on their feet? How could they sit in prison in a cold, dark, dank prison and yet be singing hymns at midnight? Peace of God and doing the will of God in their life. The Christian delights to discover the will of God and then obey from the heart. And the will of God is His nourishment. Jesus saith unto them, John 4:34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." And our responsibility. What is our responsibility? You and I must pray, as Epaphras did, that Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. You want to look with me here? Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." That word perfect there is an idea of maturity, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know what God's desire is for us? God who made us, God who created us, God who fashioned us, God who knows my deepest secrets, God who knows my deepest hurts, my deepest pains, my idiosyncrasies, God who knows me, He has a perfect will for my life and yours. And if Satan can make me ignorant of God's will, guess what? He'll rob you of God's blessings. He'll rob you of God's joy that God has planned for your life. You'll make bad decisions. You'll get involved in sinful activities and build the wrong kind of life. And you know what? And sad to say, you will influence others to go the wrong way. And you might be saying, man, I have made a mess out of my life. But you know what? God still has a plan for your life. If you've messed up, then get up and start serving God. Do His will. And God will still use you in mighty ways. The Apostle Paul was a person who murdered and killed and imprisoned Christians. I mean, Paul did heinous, horrible things to Christians. He watched Stephen, Acts chapter 7, be stoned to death. The Apostle Paul, formerly called Saul, he was a wicked, mean, angry man. And God turned his life around. God used, not Delilah, he used Rahab there in Jericho. Here she was, God used her, and God used other people. We can make mistakes in our life, but it doesn't mean we stay down. A just man falls 7 times and rises up again, Proverbs chapter 24:16. And the fact is, we can get up and we can go serve God. Our responsibility, no matter if we've messed up or we've stayed right with God, is to know God's will and to continue on that path. In the ministry of the Word of God, there's many tragic consequences of those who live their lives out of the will of God. And Christians who are ignorant of God's will, they lose the enjoyment of God's peace and power. You know what? Church just becomes drudgery. Church just becomes a monotony. Church just becomes mechanical. The reading of God's Word is just like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what the pastor always talks about us to doing. Oh, I pray over my meals, but it's just what I do. But guess what? If you had a friendship with someone and they just were friends with you because that's what they're supposed to do, it's not a very enjoyable relationship. And the thing is with God is that God wants to speak to us. God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants me to know His will. God wants to empower me to do all that He's called me to do and all that He's called you to do. You can't grow into your full potential for God if you don't know what God's will is for your life. And a lot of Christians, instead of traveling first class in their Christian life, they travel second or third class, complaining all the way. God's will just stinks. And many people will live spiritually as spiritual paupers or poor people because they've cut themselves off from the great wealth of God. They spend their lives, and even worse, they waste their lives when they could be investing their lives for eternity. I'd like you to look with me at 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, and then we'll conclude. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And next week we'll be talking about our defense, which is the inspired Word of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. If you think upon these truths here in 1 John 2, it really is quite encouraging. 1 John is really an encouraging book. He's dealing with a lot of Gnosticism in this book and writing against it, but also as a believer, finding our peace and our joy in the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I can have the peace and the presence of God in my life. I can have the joy. And it's when I sit down in the morning and I'm meditating on God's Word. It's when I'm going throughout my day and, Lord, I just want to thank you for this. Lord, I want to thank you for this. Or maybe there's a challenge that came up and you're saying, my boss just came with me with something and I don't know how to respond. God, I could sure use your wisdom now. It's that constant communication. It's that in everything, give thanks. It's that pray always without ceasing. You know, God wants that relationship with us. And if Satan can keep that relationship at bay, if Satan can keep me divorced from that close relationship with God, if Satan can keep me ignorant of God's will for my life, then I will not know the joy of the Lord. And my friend, God has great plans for your life. God has great plans for my life. But if I'm not talking with Him and I'm not in relationship with Him, I'm going to have a really hard time knowing what His will is. He's a Father in heaven that loves us. He's a perfect Father. And any day I can come to Him and find the joy and the peace of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon this time, and we'll have our morning service here at 11 o'clock. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for Your wondrous grace. I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and grace and kindness towards us. Father, I pray that You'd help us to be found faithful. Lord, I pray that we would know Your will. Lord, that we would be obedient. And Lord, we would just keep our hearts close to Thee. Thank You for being the Savior. Thank You for being good. Thank You for being in control. And Father, I just pray that each and every one of us would know for sure that we're saved. Second of all, we know your will for our lives. And Lord, that you'd just protect us and keep us. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace in all that we say and do. Thank you for being in control. In Jesus' precious name, I pray.